It's time to talk politics with Labor leader Andrew Little.
Yes, that's right. It is time for our weekly political segment with Labor leader Andrew Little. I caught up with Andrew earlier this morning to chat about health and Labor's immigration policy that's due to be announced next week. Here we go. Now, Labor has released a statement regarding a $2.3 billion shortfall in the country's health sector. $2.3 billion is obviously a significant jump from the $1.7 billion figure that's kind of been thrown around in the recent past. Where are you getting your figures from?
So we gave the health budget figures to a group of independent economists at Infometrics. They looked at the Treasury information about how you do budgeting for health, because you have to make assumptions about the population, not just population growth, but changes within the population, because we have an aging population. And they're the ones who've been advising us on the accumulated shortfall in funding. So that $2.3 billion is the amount of funding that would have gone into the health system over the last 7 years had the government applied the formula that they said they use for health funding properly. They haven't done that. There's been a shortfall. And for the next year that the budget was... The budget for, you know, that was announced a couple of weeks ago, the shortfall in that year alone is $220 million.
Okay, but wasn't that Infometrics study a Labor Commission study?
Well, we went to them, yeah, because we wanted independent economists to have a look at.
So how do we know that this is, like, robust research?
Well, I don't think, economists from an outfit like Infometrics would put their name to something that was dodgy and... laden with political bias. What they've done is, their methodology is pretty clear. They've simply used information that is available from the government and specifically the Treasury, and they've used the Treasury model for health funding, which is in a population-based funding, and they've used the Treasury data on population growth and population change. So all the data that the figure is based on, it all comes from government sources.
Right, but as early as May this year, David Clark has said the government has stripped health of $1.7 billion over the past 6 years. And obviously that's a massive $600 million increase. So how does that significant jump happen so quickly?
So that $1.7 billion was the figure up to the 30th of June 2016. You've got the period from then till 30 June 2017, that's this year, and then you've got the period down to 30 June 2018. So there's two more years that you've added on to that $1.7 billion. You've got to remember that that figure, the $2.3 billion, is an accumulated total of the shortfalls in each of the years for the past 7 years. Or 8 years as it now is.
So what kind of factors are playing into the pressure that has been mentioned?
Well, what we're seeing as a consequence of that underfunding, we're seeing the fact that people are told by their GP they need to go to the local hospital for a specialist appointment. They can't get the specialist appointment. The hospitals are turning people down by saying, we can't afford to see you. And we're seeing huge pressures in mental health. And that's being played out at the moment. We had the report from the Auditor General just last week just saying in relation to discharges of acute mental health patients alone, there are some serious pressures and some serious problems. You've got GPs now saying that they cannot hold their top-up fees at the level they have been any longer because they're not getting any extra funding from the DHB, so people are going to be charged more to go to the doctor. These things are all a consequence of the underfunding.
Right, so how do you propose to turn the situation around?
So we pledged to backfill the underfunding at $2.3 billion. It's going to take a while to do that. It's not something we can do in a single year, and it's probably not something we can do in a single term either. The $220 million in a single year, which is next year's shortfall, we could probably fill most of that gap pretty smartly, but in terms of recovering the full $2.3 billion, because remember that somebody who doesn't get a hip operation last year because the local DHB said they can't afford to treat them, that problem doesn't go away until they get the operation. So that extra funding is going to have to be found over time, and we will take time to do it, at the same time as managing the government books properly.
Right. Moving on, you're announcing your immigration policy next week, and cutting back on tens of thousands of immigrants has kind of been the stance up until now. Can you be more definitive?
Well, I will be when I announce it on Monday, but no, I'm committed to that. And it all comes down to the fact that, you know, particularly two of our biggest cities, Auckland and Hamilton, are under huge constraints at the moment. The level of population growth that we have at the moment, largely driven by immigration, is putting huge pressure on those cities. And so we already have this chronic shortage of housing, 40,000 in Auckland alone, as well as pressure on schools. We've got overcrowded schools. We've got traffic congestion of a sort that we haven't ever seen before. All of those things are putting pressure on those cities, and it's not being made any better with the way we're running immigration policy at the moment. So we have to change that.
So will there be a definitive figure then come next week?
You'll see specific figures where we are confident we can make the cuts in immigration numbers in particular sort of categories. So we will have specific figures. And I think you'll see a more well-rounded statement about, you know, how we can better manage immigration so that those in the regions who do rely on getting skilled staff from overseas, you know, can still do so, and that we're not choking off opportunities for economic growth and development in, you know, most parts of the country.
Wait, so we'll see a more well-rounded statement next week. Does that mean we haven't been given a proper answer up until now?
No, in terms of numbers, I mean, in terms of the problem that we've got, which is huge numbers putting huge pressure on cities, no, that problem hasn't changed. The definition of that problem hasn't changed. But in terms of, you know, how we can better manage it, which is what this is all about, you'll certainly hear from that. And I think put a bit of context around it too. I think there are a lot of people who are very uncomfortable talking about immigration because they immediately, in the way that immigration debates in other parts of the world have been conducted, people immediately go to an issue about race and, you know, xenophobia and all that sort of stuff. This is, in the end, this is about population and population growth. And for a small country like ours that has the constraints that we've got, such as a lack of housing, we've got to be able to manage population growth in a way that makes sense to us and isn't unfair both to those who are coming here to settle and those who are already living here. And that's, in the end, what you want to do with immigration policy.
Okay, well, analysts say that immigrants are a key driver for the economy. So how does Labor's policy propose to balance this idea with the promised cuts?
Well, it's not good for the economy when you have a property market that is so wildly out of control that, you know, property prices are going up or doubling in a matter of sort of 8 years. And then you've got traffic congestion that means that, you know, people are spending up to an hour on the motorways and costing billions of dollars a year. So managing immigration that has those consequences is not good for the economy. And that's why, you know, we've got to get the balance right. And it's not about, you know, for a country like ours, it is always needed to bring people from overseas to provide all the skills that we need. It's not about choking that off. It is about managing it differently. You know, we've had a rapid growth in immigration just in the last few years at levels we've never seen before. That's been a recent thing. Nobody ever voted for that. There was no conscious decision ever made about it. But it is having consequences now, and we have to manage it better.
I guess what I'm asking is, are there no other ways of addressing the housing crisis and overpopulation without targeting immigration?
Well, you used the term targeting. I don't know why you used it. I mean, nobody said, oh, we're targeting immigrants to get, you know, more here. It's just happened. It's just happened that way. Some might say it's been a matter of political convenience for this government. In the end, you know, for a small country like ours that is 65,000 houses short nationwide of what we need to accommodate the population who is here, 40,000 houses short in the largest city alone, it doesn't make sense to add, you know, another 30,000 to 40,000 people a year to that city and therefore needing 30,000 more homes, or to add, you know, to have manage immigration in a way that's increasing the population so that we end up adding 800 more cars a month, which is what we're doing at the moment. So it is about managing our population so that we're not putting this incredible pressure on our cities and on, you know, on everybody who's already living here. We've just got to manage it better.
Well, capital gains is kind of said to be fairer and a way of easing those intergenerational tensions. So is that not another way to address it?
Well, capital gains there's no relationship whatsoever to immigration. If you've got people coming here to settle here because they've got skills, they want to come and live here, they've got to have a place to live. So, you know, you might jack up the price they end up having to pay, but capital gains doesn't build another house. And what we need to do is build more houses, 65,000 of them at least, even just to keep up with today's needs. So, no, capital gains doesn't help. Capital gains doesn't stop property price bubbles. We know that from the experience in other cities. Capital gains is very good at revenue raising for the government. And, you know, that's something that any government should look at in terms of a total tax policy package. That's why we've committed to reviewing the entire tax system when we're in government. But capital gains tax is not an answer to rapid population growth.
Okay, so ruling it out 100%.
No, I've just said that we will do a review of the entire tax system. Everything will be on the table, every form of tax, every type of tax, what we do with tax levels and tax thresholds, everything will be on the table as part of that review. But I think it's better to do that as part of a total system and a total package. In the end, tax, you know, has to meet a number of conditions. One of them is that everybody gets treated fairly. That's probably not the case at the moment. But you can't do that until you look at the entire system, the way it affects everybody.
You've been listening to Andrew Little from the Labor Party. The Wire.